Praise God. Isn't that amazing? Well, everybody that worked, that's here today, that worked up there this week with the Vacation Bible School or worked to get everything prepared, just stand up for a minute if you would. Come on, y'all looking around like who's going to, yeah. Thank y'all. Laura, do you want to come up and say something just because you can give a better, let's use this mic right here, a little bit better recount of, not you, Lori. But Dixie's not here with us. She's not feeling good. Y'all need to pray for her today. She's just not feeling good. And, you know, I want to say something else about Dixie. She had a birthday this week, and right in the middle of her birthday, started Vacation Bible School and did that. What a trooper, what a champ on that. So y'all need to pray for her and send her a note. But give us a little update. You can do it better than I can.
Okay. I just have to say that was really cute. It's the first time I've seen you blush. So we had a really great week. It was full. We had 53 kids were registered, and our highest attendance day was 48. So they had a lot of fun. They started and ended with songs and a skit every morning, and we kept them really busy, good flow. They went from station to station, and we had a story time. We had a place where they could make crafts. We had a snack station. And then they went outside and they played games and did some fun stuff out there. And then ended back up in with the rest of their skit and some more songs. And they got to learn the promises that we studied this week were that God gives you what you need. God cares about you. God is with you and God will save you. And it was really, really a blessing to see that those kids would take that word and hide it in their hearts, because the next day when they would come back, I would review with them, well, what did we learn yesterday, or what are the promises that we've learned all week long? And those kids could tell you. Yeah. They could tell you the word of God. They were reciting it back to us. So it was really, really encouraging. And they had a great time. We had a great time. And next year, I highly encourage any of you that can, please, please get involved with VBS, because it's one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. The kids love it. They have fun. We love it. We have fun. And it's great to know that you're sowing seeds that will stay with them for a lifetime.
Amen. Thank you. There's a lot of hard work went in that. I know that a lot of planning, a lot of meetings, a lot of designing, a lot of drawings. I know cutting boards out and doing this and putting posters up. And so there was a lot more to just than what took place this week, getting prepared. But, man, it was a great thing. You know, I'm so impressed with Jake back there doing the video. He makes it look like, you know, when I was watching it on Friday when we had the closing, I was like, wow, look, that it looks like we're so big and the church is so huge and professional, and look at all this stuff. It looks really good. I mean, like, it looks like it's ready to go on TV or something, you know. So I was impressed about that, praise God. But, you know, anyway, good thing, blessing children, getting souls saved, getting word implanted. So, man, praise God for that. So anyway, thank everybody that put your effort into that. Man, the blessings of God be upon you. So get your Bibles out this morning. Go to the book of Luke chapter 17. I want to try to help you this morning. I want to talk to you about having your own personal revival. I started this before we left and went on vacation. And I know Pastor Wynn came in here and preached for 2 weeks. And I know that he was preaching a little bit along the same lines. But I want to just back up a little bit and then start off on this, because of all the things I've learned in the 27, 28 years that I've been saved and serving Jesus, this is probably the most important thing I've ever learned. Because let me ask you something. How many of you in here would be honest enough to say that there's things that happen in life, whether it's the fight with the wife, the problems at your job, the things that are going on somewhere or another in the world or whatever, just health issues, personal issues, that you get to thinking about and it seems like you can't quit thinking about them? Anybody running here, huh? You wake up, you're thinking about it, you went to bed, you're thinking about it, you wake up, and so all in your mind, you're rehearsing all the time, going over and over and over and everything about whether you're offended with something that somebody did, or you're hurt or wounded. It may be legitimate, may be thought up, doesn't make any difference, but it's what's going on in your head. It's the recording, it's the video that's playing off and over and over and over and over that you get. It wears you out. It depends on the degree of it. It drives you crazy. Y'all with me here? Hello? I'm in the right house this morning, preaching to people that have dealt with that. We all do. There's not any of us. Your mind can do that to you, okay? But what I want to talk to you about, what I want to shift this message to, and what I want you to begin to see is that you can wake up every morning and you can have a personal revival with Jesus, with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in your home right there every morning if you so choose. You're not waiting for the big falling, the big move of God, the big lightning clash, the big burning bush, listen, you can wait for that. And sometimes in life, and I cannot explain why, it seems like that a certain event or a certain time can happen that a church can go into what they call revival, and things can be moving and things can be happening. But I'm talking about living every day. Hello? I'm talking about waking up and walking outside and looking up into the hills and say, man, I'm looking to the hills as comes my help, but my help comes from the Lord. And it means something. It's not a verse you recited. It's not just something that you're saying. Your Christianity has to be real. If you're just living to die that you're going to get into heaven and you're just satisfied that, you know, someday I'll die and I'll go on to heaven and the pearly gates will be open for me and St. Peter will be there, I'll walk in. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You're missing Christianity. Jesus did not die on the cross for you just to be happy once you get to heaven. Jesus died on the cross so that he could be the Prince of Peace in your life. So that he could come into your life every morning, every day, every second, help you through the trials of life, but that you could live in personal revival. Now, the word revival just simply means that you're being renewed, you're being strengthened, you're being revived, right? You're hot, thirsty, you get a big old glass of iced tea, you drink it, and you're revived, right? But if you go back outside in the heat, then you have to be revived again. It's the same thing with your spirituality. The spirit man on the inside of you has to touch heaven every day in order for you to live and maintain a revival. Did you hear what I said? You have to touch heaven every day if you want to live in a personal revival. You can't just remember the time back in 36 when you got touched in church. Listen, you got to have personal revival today, this morning, in your own time. You come to church to hear the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, to worship corporately. But when you go home, your same devils are there waiting for you. And if you can't defeat them at home, you may have a temporary reprisal or reprieve right here in church. But when you go home, if you can't beat those devils at the house, they're going to torment you and torment your mind. You say, well, Pastor, I don't believe in devils. Well, that's the first deception you're walking in. Some are manifest and some aren't. But I'm just telling you, those thoughts that are going through your mind that keep you away from peace, those thoughts are demonic. And unless you recognize it and put them down and have your own personal revival, they're going to torment you and lead you to torment. Do you know that a study was done, and I don't have it all the stats on it, but a study was done on a lot of people that were coming to the doctor, and certain amount of them they gave placebos, and the other amount they gave medicine, and the ones that got placebos got well just as well as the ones that had medicine, because the doctor told them they were going to be okay. So all of a sudden the thought that was in their mind quit being a negative thought. It became a positive thought. Oh, okay, I'm taking this pill, I'm going to be okay. I'm taking this pill, I'm going to be okay. And just the simple change of thought changed their whole chemistry in their body and brought healing. Now, I'm not saying that you don't take medicine. I'm just telling you that this is what happened in a study. Same way in a study, there was a study of people that were in the hospital room, and the nurses touched certain patients, and they did not touch the other ones. They didn't pray for them. They just touched them. And the ones that they touched had a better recovery rate than the ones that weren't touched. It's because people respond to positive things. Listen to me. How many of you know that when you do something and somebody comes up and tells you, man, you did a great job, it does feel good? If somebody comes up and said, you know, I don't even know why you got up this morning. You're the dumbest idiot that ever walked on the face of the earth. Right? Then that does not set off good things in your life. Is that right? I mean, the saber starts rattling for war when that happens. And then the thought process starts. And then you're like, you know, before long, if you carry the thought process all the way through, you're figuring out how you can poison them. And don't tell me you've never had those thoughts. Hello? So, if we can get the understanding of what Jesus wants in our life, and here we go to Luke chapter 17, look at verse 20. It says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, because they're wanting to see something, they're wanting to see this sign, they're wanting to see this boom, this clap of thunder, they're wanting to see God appear and smote the Romans and set everything right. He answers him, the kingdom of God didn't come with observation. Nor will they say, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Listen to me, this personal revival you're going to have, or this revival you're going to have, it's going to be started from within you. It can't come from the outside on you, it's got to come from the inside of you. Are you with me? It's got to come from a hunger and a yearning down on the inside of you. It's got to come from a you changing the thought process of your life. It's got to come from what God has implanted within you. That's where the revival starts, right inside of you. Now look, go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, 11. It says, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. You are not going to have this personal revival come on you without a fight. Have y'all heard this commercial? I haven't even investigated it, and I should probably, you know, since I'm going to be over the internet with this, probably shouldn't say nothing, I'll get in trouble. But write me a dirty letter about it, I don't care. About the woman, it's an interview. It's not an interview. It's like this lady calls in and she says, I've got a problem. I've been drinking your shakes and I can't stop losing weight. And I drink your shakes three times a day and I can't stop losing weight. What should I do? I'm like, what? Oh, and he says, oh, well, you know, this is the one thing that's great about drinking our shakes. If you just, you know, just reduce and only drink two a day, and then you go ahead and eat a meal, and then that way you can maintain your weight. And I'm like, if it was really that easy, are y'all with me? If it was really that easy, you just drank three shakes a day, you know, not staring at not having to padlock your ice box so you didn't tear into it, you know. And this woman, the way she's saying it, is like, I just don't know what to do because I just love to drink your shakes, but I'm losing weight. And I can't stop. I'm like, who has that problem? You with me here? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up. I don't know what's going on, but it does not add up. Well, listen to me. I'm telling you, to have revival in your life, it's going to have to become violent on your part to walk in it, because there's everything in hell going to want to steal it from you. Do you think the enemy's going to let you have revival every day? It's going to let the Spirit of God come down upon you and you be happy? He's mad because he's headed to hell and he wants everybody to be mad with him. It isn't going to be, it's going to take, when it says violence here, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, taking up arms, but it means taking up an understanding of you are going to have to fight for your piece of heaven on this earth, and you're going to have to then maintain it with war. War against the enemy, war against everything that's trying to take it from you. And you can't yield. It's going to take effort. You're going to have to work at it. It's not going to come easy until you get the revival started. Then when you get to living in the revival, then the momentum starts to build for you, and then all of a sudden, victory is yours. Hello? Now I want to tell y'all something about my own self. I've walked in this for years and years and years, but I want to tell you something. I can still get discouraged. I can still get overwhelmed. But you know what? I know how to go have revival. I just have to shut my head up, grab hold of it, grab the bull by the horns, and go have some revival. Are y'all with me? Okay. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, it says, These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter into the city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen to me. When Jesus sent the disciples out, he wanted to say, look, it is now. You do not have to wait for the kingdom of heaven. You do not have to wait for revival. It is now. It's there. It's open. When Jesus died and was resurrected from the dead, he ascended into heaven. And the Bible says that he poured his blood out upon the mercy seat, therefore nullifying the wrath of God that was set out for mankind over man forever. Y'all with me? God no longer has any offense towards mankind. Mankind can come freely into the kingdom, but they got to come into the kingdom through the blood of Jesus. People want to argue about this, but that's just bull. There's only one way into the kingdom, and it's through the blood of Jesus. If you're not going to accept the blood of Jesus, you still got some wrath headed your way. Okay. But he tore down that wall. That meant all of a sudden this veil that was in front of the Ark of the Covenant, or this, however you want to say this, or this obstruction that was between you and your Heavenly Father, because you couldn't walk right in there because the sin within our life, the glory of God, the holiness of God would just smoke you. All of a sudden, now because of the blood of Jesus, you could walk in there. That's not metaphorically. That means you have the right every day to approach the throne. You have the right to go past the gates, past the city, to the throne of God. Walk right in and talk to your Heavenly Father, and you should be having revival, should be having discussion, should be having answers, should be having whatever going on between you and your Heavenly Father. He said, well, Pastor, you know, I'm not talking about emotion. Listen to me. I am not talking about emotion. I'm not talking about, Yeah, I got to tell y'all this. Y'all think this is funny. I can be pretty tough, but there's one part of my life I'm a real chicken. And like, I don't like scary movies. Anything that's got scary movie in it, you know, they start playing the music, man, goosebumps come up about that big on my leg. And my wife teases me. And some reason, I don't even remember, you know, I mean, we're talking when I was a teenager. Remember the old movie came out, The Shining? Had Jack Nicholson in it. That man looked crazy then, you know. I mean, I'd be scared. I'm scared of him today. If I just saw him, he came up to us and said, oh, man, dude, get away from me. You know, you're the crazy guy in that movie, you know. Because, I mean, he just freaky looking, all right? Well, that was on yesterday. And I just, the little boy on the inside of me just stopped for a minute right in the middle of it. And I just couldn't get it off quick enough, had goosebumps all over me. That stuff just freaked me out. I don't know. It just freaks me out. But there is none of that between you and your Heavenly Father. People say, listen, I'm scared to go to the throne, or I don't feel anything when I go to the throne. Listen to me. It's not like that. It's called faith. It's called believing that you know that you know that you know that you have the right to walk into the throne. However you see it in your head, however you feel it, that is up to you. But I'm telling you what you got to know by faith, that when you stop and pray, heaven hears. I had a person the other day on the job site, and we were visiting. I could see he was down, and I said, what's going on? And so basically somebody had given him a hot check, a really large hot check, and for work he had done. And I said, well, you know, what do you want to do? And he said, well, you know, my first thoughts are not good. And I said, well, I can totally, completely understand that. And I'll be honest with you, you know, if you want to go to war, I'll go to war with you. Let's go find him. And he said, no, that's not the righteous thing to do. And I said, yeah, I know. So I said, you want to pray? And he said, yeah. Would you pray for me? And I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray. But when I pray, I just want you to understand, when I pray, heaven's going to hear. And so then, you know, we're going to be taken over into there. So we're going to have to leave him alone. You can't curse him after this because God's in charge. And so that's why I ask you if you want to go to war before we talk to heaven, because we can't do it after. And so he said, no, let's pray. And so I said, okay, but I just want you to know, I'm going to pray, and God's going to hear our prayer, and then God's going to answer it, and it's going to be taken care of. So he said, okay. And I said, really, I'm not just trying to talk you up in this. I'm just telling you, I know that I'm going to talk to heaven, and it's going to get done. So he said, okay. So I just laid my hand on his chest right there in the middle of the job site, and we just prayed. I just prayed, and I said, you know, God, I don't know what needs to be done to fix it, but I'm just praying, Lord, this man was ripped off. It shouldn't have been ripped off. This is yours, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I just thank you right now. It's done in Jesus' name. So this was on a Wednesday. And so Thursday comes back to the job. No, excuse me. This was on a Thursday. And so Friday morning he comes back, and I said, hey, you know, is it good? He said, I don't know. I'm going to have my wife call just a minute, and they're going to rerun the check. I said, okay, rerun it. So they reran it. It's Friday morning. So at noon he comes back. He's still got the long face. And I said, what's up? And he said, still balanced. I said, really? I said, I find that hard to believe. Are you sure the bank did it right? He said, well, I don't know. I said, the bank, I just put the check in the bank. I don't know if the bank did it right. And I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know. It'll be there. Don't worry. I don't understand, but it'll be there. Don't worry. So Monday comes. We come back on the job, and I said, hey, what's going on? Got this big old smile on his face. He says, you're not going to believe this. I said, oh, yeah, I'll believe it. Tell me. He said, that money was there Friday morning. He said, when the bank ran the check, for some reason, their computer system hadn't updated, and they didn't see, but it was cleared Friday morning. He said, I worried about it all weekend, and it was already there. They didn't tell me till this morning that it really was there. You see, folks, what I'm trying to say is it's not because I felt something. It's not because there was at the moment I felt the wind blow and It was a knowing, a know that you, by faith, that God hears your prayers because God said that he would. So it turns around, and when you pray and you don't see it, then something had to have happened wrong, because it's not me, it's them. Hello? He said, well, Robert, that's just really error. Listen, I'm just telling you, I just know what the Word of God says. Now, see, it was easy to pray for that man because I knew that he had been wronged. I knew that he had just rightfully done the work. I knew that he had been wronged. I knew that God wants us to prosper. I knew that he's a Christian. I know that he's a tither. I knew his financial state. I knew what was going on. So it was easy for me to pray because I knew it was rightfully his and it had to come. And if you're praying for something, you know, wild-eyed, and, you know, you want a Cadillac sedan DeVille with a set of, you know, steer horns on the front, and you hadn't got it yet, you know, maybe you're believing for the wrong vehicle. Although that would be cool. Are y'all with me here? Okay, so It's about this coming to this place of this knowing, this place that you're going to, you know, no shadow of a doubt that you have the right to go in there. Now listen to me. How many times has the enemy ever said to you, you know, God's not going to hear your prayer. He knows what you did yesterday. Anybody in here? Well, what do you think he's trying to do? He didn't want you to have revival. He's slipping in the back door trying to make you feel guilty about something you should have just repented of and gotten over it. And then you could walk right in there for revival. But no, he said, oh, it's not that easy. You know what you've done. You really have to pay for that. You need to suffer for a while or whatever. When he gets you off on those rabbit trails, you go off over there and then you're over here instead of being here in the presence of God. The fastest way to live your life and get in the presence of God is just repent all the time. I repent for things that I'm not even sure if that was wrong. Because I just want to keep clean, right? And so somebody will say something to me, and I said, I can't believe that idiot did that. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I guess he probably is an idiot, but there, you know, something ain't right with him. But anyway, forgive me for saying that right there. Right there. Maybe should have used a different word, but you know. I mean, that's the kind of conversation I have all the time with the Lord. Driving down the road, the car cuts you off. Instantly, you wish you had that push button on your dashboard that the little missile went out. And you say, Lord, forgive me, I even thought that. I'm sorry. You say, well, I don't know if that really counts. What do you mean? Does it count? Was it sincerely repented from my heart? Yeah, I'm sorry, I had the thought. Well, I don't know if that really did. Now you're just getting religious. Now you're just saying, well, you got to go get on your knees and you got to do this. Well, then go ahead and get a whip and beat your back if it makes you feel better. But that's not what the Bible says. And if that's what you got to do to get your head straight, well, then beat yourself silly. But I'm telling you, you don't have to. My relationship with the Lord is like my relationship with my wife. When I do something wrong, I say, sweetie, I'm sorry. And she doesn't look at me and say, I don't know if I really accept that because I don't know. You don't really look like you're meaning that. Because I have an open relationship with my wife. If I'm not sorry for what I did, I ain't going to tell her. I'll sit and fight over it. I can get horsey. Are you with me? Y'all remember the early days of marriage where you didn't want to be the first one to say you were sorry? So you would try to hold out as long as you could? Have y'all ever been there? Y'all won't even say anything. You're like, uh-huh. Wives looking at us. Oh, raise your hand. I'll whack you a good one. But you know, I was always the guy that broke. I always broke first. I just couldn't take the ice treatment in the house, you know? I mean, the stalactites were coming down from the ceilings, and I was like, God, I just can't take it anymore. So I was always the first to fall on my face, and I'm that away with God. I don't want to be out of His presence. So I'm always quick to repent. You would say, well, why don't you just quit doing wrong? I can't. I'm made out of dirt. Well, I thought you were born again. I am, but I'm living in this earth suit that's got some crazy thinking. I got 51 years of stupid thinking in my head I hadn't got rooted out yet. I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. But I know that my Redeemer, He can take care of it. Right? I know that my Redeemer lives and that He can redeem me and He can take care of me and that He can get me where I need to be and He can do what needs to be done in my life and that He can do that, but I got to go to the throne and talk to Him about it. And so I got no problems. I'm quick to repent. I'm quick to talk to him. I'm quick to just go to him and say, hey, Dad, woohoo, that was a bad one. That was a Lulu thought. I shouldn't have done that. Right? All right. Now, let's go down here. Let's get into this. I hadn't even got into the message. I'm still reviewing. Okay, let's go over here. Let's go to Isaiah 58. Let's go to Isaiah 58 here. Let's talk about what God says is true revival. Isaiah 58, we'll start in verse 6. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He says, Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Did you get that? Listen, I know a lot of people that say, yeah, well, I fast twice a week. Well, actually, you're on a diet. Because if you're not fasting with the right heart, all right, if it's not really something God called you to and you just set up a religious time for you to just deprive yourself of food so that you could feel more holy because you were trying to feel good because you went and repented three times, but you didn't really feel like you were really forgiven, so you wanted to do something to make you feel like you were really forgiven. That ain't a fast, folks. That's a religious diet. A fast is something that there's something on the inside of you that tells you that your flesh is out of control and you need to get it in control. Did you hear what I said? You know your flesh is out of control. It's having dominance over your spirit, and you need to get your flesh jerked into shape. And so you deny yourself whatever your flesh is wanting and stand strong by the Spirit that you're not going to let your flesh have it because you want to tell your flesh that you're in charge. That's a fast. A fast like that you want to do is if your flesh wants to eat ice cream and it won't quit, then you go buy ice cream and you put ice cream in front of you. You put it into the dish. You get you a spoonful of it and then you walk over and put it in the sink and dump it out. Your flesh says, I want ice cream! And you say, you're not eating ice cream. I'm tired of you being in control of me. You're not gonna do that. It's called the express fast. You can find it in the Bible somewhere. you want to listen. You don't want to read your Bible and you feel tired and you just want to relax and lay in your easy chair. But inside of you, in your heart, you know that you need to read your Bible. You need to hear a word from God. You need to get up and have your personal revival. So you go and you turn on the television set and you find you a good movie, something you really want to watch. You make you some popcorn. You get you iced tea. You get in your recliner. You kick back. You look at it. You start watching. You say, man, this is nice, isn't it? Oh, this is relaxing. And then you reach up there and you turn the TV off. You put the popcorn up. You get out of your easy chair. You get your Bible out and you start studying. You just fasted. You just denied your flesh what it wanted to do. You tell it to shut up. Your spirit man is in control of your flesh and you're not going to allow it to do what it wants to do. That's an express fast that gets you to heaven quicker than you've ever known. God said, I've chosen this kind of fast to loose the bonds of wickedness. What's he talking about? The bonds of wickedness that wants to come on you that keeps you from walking in revival. To undo the heavy burdens, the things that are on your mind that are holding you bound that you just keep thinking about over and over and over again. to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. It's to share your bread with the hungry. How are you going to share your bread with the hungry? You're going to give up your time to go out, find a hungry person to feed him. It's going to cost you money and time. Is that not? Listen, there are some very saintly people that I've been around in life who like to just go and do for others. But most of us have a selfish side to us. And so to go feed the hungry, that means you have to give up your time and what you wanted to do to go do it, and then therefore you killed part of the selfish side of you because you went and did something for others. That you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? Well, see, you brought them in. That's an inconvenience to you. You wanted to go do what you wanted to go do, but you didn't do it because you had them in the house. Got this old poor portion in the house. Hello? When you see the naked, you cover him. In other words, it costs you. You had to take something of yours and give it to them. Then, look at this. Then the light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. See, if you're going to walk in revival, you've got to deny yourself of what it wants. You've got to get rid of the fleshly side of you and let the spirit side of you seek heaven. And when you do that, then boom, revival happens. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You shall call on the Lord will answer. Are y'all with me, folks? I'm telling you, God can be right there in your house with you, but he's trying to get your head to shut up, your flesh to shut up, and get yourself in the position where you're walking in the things of God. God said, then I'm here. He said, I'll take the yoke from your midst. The pointing of the... He says, excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. He says, then you will call and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. Then there's an if. Everybody say if. Ooh, you know, if sometimes are tough. If means you have to do something. Now look what he says here. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness. They did it. It's their fault. That woman you gave me. Hello? See, what I'm trying to say to you, church, is that when you take the right actions, man, boom, God shows up. And he said, well, I don't know. I don't feel like serving. Well, maybe you need to look at this. Are you living your life dominated by your flesh? Or are you living your life ruled by your spirit? If you take away the yoke from it, the point of your finger, the speaking of weakness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail from those from among you. You shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairers of the breach, the restorers of the streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your fathers, for the mouth of the Lord spoken. Do you realize that in everything God said right there, there wasn't one religious thing? Do you follow me there? Everything God said, there wasn't one religious thing about that. There wasn't one part about, oh, but if you read your Bible this much, if you say this many prayers, if you do it this way, or if you hold your foot up like this while saying the reciting this, then, you know, there was nothing religious in there. It was all God saying, look, folks, I'm here. I'm here. I want to burst into your life. I want to have revival with you every morning. I want to come into your house. I just want to just overwhelm you with my goodness and my love and my peace. And I'm here if you'll just shut up thinking about everything else and get your focus upon me and start denying your flesh and denying your the soulish things you want and let your spirit dominate your body. I will be there for revival every morning. Is that what he said? Can I have an amen? Folks, listen to me. That's where we got to live. That's where peace is. That's where grace is. That's where mercy is. That's where we need to live every day. It's all available for each and every one of us. All you have to do is do it. Amen? Well, I want to pray for you. Put your Bibles up, if you would. Because I'm not going to preach a message to you, not give you some prayer. And I want you just everybody just stand up, if you would, please. There's just a couple of things I got to ask you, okay? The first is you're not going to have revival in your life if you're not sure you're saved. Right? If you're not sure that you have your relationship with Jesus right, if you're not sure that you know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that if you were to die tonight, you'd go to heaven. If you're not sure about that, well, the Bible says all we have to do is ask Him into our life. And when we ask Him into our life, He will come into our life. But we have to ask Him in faith. That means that you believe that when you pray, He heard you and He answered your prayer. Amen? That's the first thing. The second thing is that some of you out here, you've been saved for years. You know you're saved. But you've let the devil steal your joy and your peace. You've let the devil come into your life and you've let him create a city of woe is me. And I feel like this morning the Lord told me that those of you that have that place in your mind of woe is me, that he wants to break that this morning. Now, just like I prayed for that guy about the money, I'm going to pray for you. But you got to, by faith, grab hold of it. And God will destroy that thinking in your mind and bring you a place of peace. Hello? So I want you to do something. Everybody just bow your heads and just look into your hearts and just let the Spirit of God speak to you right now. And if you're in here and you don't know for sure you're saved, you don't know for sure that you'd go to heaven, I want you just to lift up your hand and I want to pray for you. I want to just ask and pray with you and get you to just meet Jesus for the very first time. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, if you're listening out there in by computer this morning, or you're listening by radio today, I want you just to pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray this with me. Say, Jesus, today I invite you into my life. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe your blood paid the price for my sin. And I ask you today to forgive me, to wash me and cleanse me, and make heaven my home. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, those of you in here right now, and the devil has built a city of woe is me, I want to pray for you. And I don't know how to get you to have a contact with, you know, and to do it, but I'm just going to ask you, again, just everyone, just give everybody around you a little bit of privacy. Just to just bow your heads and just have a little bit of privacy here. And just either raise your hand or do whatever's in your heart to just give you a place where you know that you're being counted in heaven right now over this prayer. But because I want to pray for you, and I believe right now a miracle is going to take place in your life, that you're no longer going to have to be harassed with those thoughts. You're no longer going to have to be tormented by those dreams and those visions. But right now, the Spirit of God is going to come into your life and He's going to break that. He's going to break that hold on you. So Father, right now, every person in here, every person that's being affected by that, every person that's being tormented by those thoughts right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I break those thoughts. I come against it, Lord, in the authority that you gave me as a pastor of this church. And I declare right now that those tormenting thoughts, those cities of woe, those times of trouble that the enemy has brought and established in their minds, Lord, they look to you for their forgiveness. They look to you for their freedom. You said, Lord God, you would set the oppressed free. And so I declare it right now in Jesus' name that those thoughts are broken. And that freedom belongs to them. And the victory belongs to them. And no longer this day will they ever be tormented again. And so, Father, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Now, Holy Ghost, set them free. Set them free to never have to deal with it ever again. And I praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. You know, I got to tell you this before I leave. When I was a young boy, I got involved in business really early. And at 15, I had a 500-head hog operation. And then at 16, I had a 1,000-head hog operation. I was moving, selling hogs to Regline and Swift in San Antonio and going back and forth and doing a lot of things. And I don't know what happened in those years, you know, just taking on a lot of responsibilities as a young man. And as I got older, I started always having a reoccurring dream. And this, you'll laugh at this, kind of funny, but I had this reoccurring dream that I would go up there and I was trying to mix the feed to feed the hogs, and I couldn't get it to work right, and all the hogs were in the pens and they were all skinny because they hadn't had anything to eat, and I was panicked to try to feed them. And I'd wake up then in the morning and I'd just, you know, be tormented over this dream. It's a reoccurring dream, reoccurring dream, reoccurring dream. And it just drove me crazy. And one day the Spirit of God, I started praying about it because I didn't connect that the dream had something to do that the enemy was just tormenting me. And so one day the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, Robert, you took on a lot of responsibility at a young age. And you held it upon your shoulders, but now in life you need me to take on the responsibility that you have. I said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And when the Holy Ghost showed me that, I prayed and I said, Lord, I just thank you that you're in control of my life now. I cast all my responsibility. I'm not holding it anymore. I'm not doing it. And that dream broke and I've never dreamed it again. You see, God will show you the secret, the key. He'll show you the key to get free. Amen? And so we want to live free. Amen? So praise God. Can I have my prayer team come down here before we leave? My prayer team down here, pastoral team, y'all come down this morning. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know, you need some more prayer, you just need God. Listen, we're here to pray with you. We're here to believe God for you. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, I need all the prayer I can get. So take that person's hand beside you. As we leave here today, free, full of life and victory, and ready to have revival. Everybody say, I'm ready to have revival. Look at the person beside you and say, go get some revival. Father, I just declare it over this congregation right now as we leave this building. We're going to go out there in this world. Lord, I declare that every morning they're going to wake up and they're going to have a personal revival time with you. That, Lord, you're going to come into their houses. You're going to visit them. You're going to talk to them. You're going to touch them. You're going to bless them. That, Lord, that today I declare that we are people that are free from the yoke of oppression, free from the yoke of bondage, and that we can have that glorious time with you. So, Holy Ghost, speak to them, show them, and just set them free. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you.